My name is Sean Legue. I'm a consulting forester. I'm also a selectman in the town of Bristol. Just to piggyback on a couple of comments, I do strongly suggest that you get a title chain of your property, ma'am, and have a surveyor look at that. I have a lot of experience on these rights of ways for my landowners, and I can tell you that in some cases the rights of way are cleared to the extent of the right of way, and in some cases they are not. So it is often quite a surprise when another swath of trees gets taken because you think you're looking at the limit of the right-of-way when in fact you're looking at the limit of the clearing and not necessarily the right-of-way. So I would suggest a title chain be done and a surveyor mark out the your entire property. And unfortunately that does cost a little bit of money, but I think it's cheap insurance in the long run. And to talk a little bit about the values, one of my main concerns as a selectman, you're right, we live and die by property taxes, and to hear a quantified number is scary. A couple of things are happening. One, we don't know the properties that can't sell because of this. We don't know what effect that has on values. But we do know the properties that are selling for lower values, whether it be the Northern Pass or the ridiculous windmills. When your property is affected by that, you should go for an abatement because your property is now worth less, and you will pay less taxes. The problem is the town just doesn't say, okay, we're not going to spend that amount less. They may say that, but usually what happens is your neighbors have to make up that difference because we have to raise a certain amount of money in the town for the town to function, and the townspeople set that rate. And what they're willing to accept and what they're not willing to accept. But when properties are reduced by 30% or 50%, it's the neighbors in the town who are making that up. So if you hear people saying, well, this doesn't really affect me because that line's just up on Peaked Hill in Bristol, that's not true. It's the entire taxpaying base in the town that is affected. So it's not just as local as you think. So that's the one thing that I would say. Try to pass that word that it doesn't affect just the affected owners. It affects the whole town because someone has to make up that tax revenue. In terms of the construction, I've seen those crews go through, the cutting crews and the construction crews when they're doing it. They're just the lowest bidder. Remember that. They're just there and they're plugging away and they're doing a job. One of the things that is access. You talked about access. They have a right to travel over your property. They don't necessarily have a right to access it through your property elsewhere. So that's one thing I would be mindful of. And talk about the view shed. The view shed of that construction is going to be hideous. And it's going to affect adjacent properties too as they try to get access to the site. And my one question is, in the wood industry and the wood chip facilities, we're hearing rumblings about just what kind of financial stability PS&H has at the moment and how that plays into all of this. There's a lot of rumor that PS&H is on the brink of bankruptcy, and I didn't know if you could maybe comment on how that plays into this whole thing.
I don't want to take a stab at predicting PS&H's financial future, but I think your point is well taken, that there are other issues that are impacting how Northeast Utilities is thinking about this project. And one of the fears that we have is that there will be some sort of a political deal cut in Concord. Fortunately, Senator Forrester's on the Finance Committee and is chairing it now, so hopefully we'll have vigilant eyes and ears down there. But seriously, the way that Northern Pass has been presented to the public here in New Hampshire leads us to believe that one of the reasons why it's being presented now as so necessary isn't because the power is necessary, but because the cash is necessary to prop up PS&H at a time when they are under enormous stress. And not to pick too much on PS&H, but the bottom line here is that there should be any issues relative to their financial solvency or their ability to keep serving customers in New Hampshire should be kept separate from any decisions about Northern Pass. And any attempt to link the two should be vocally opposed.
I just wanted to build on one aspect of what Will said, which is it really is the best explanation for why there has not been any serious study of any alternatives to the proposed route. Because unless the route uses the rights of way owned by PS&H, they don't get the rental income from that use. So it's the clearest explanation about why they've been so tenacious and really kind of in the face of a lot of complaint about completely rejecting all other alternatives. This is something of great fiscal importance or financial importance to them.
I'm going to let you answer that, Susan, and then I'd like to try to wrap this up. So I see there's, I know. I'm going to have you ask your question next, and if there's one or two, but I don't want to keep everyone here all night, so go ahead.
Actually, what I'd like to do is refer you to, Tom, there is a new website that some colleague organizations have pulled together called Empower New Hampshire. And on that website, you can find out how easy it is to switch your electricity provider. So that's a good place, I think, and it will then also answer your different questions about why and how.